Well, God bless you all. Welcome. Great to be with you again. Thank you again, Ron and Chris, for getting this all ready for me to go or whatever. You know, last week I taught on this. Okay. All right. We got a moving mic here. Last week I taught on 1 Corinthians 12 Revisited. And I had a couple of people talk to me about, wait a minute, that's the way you taught that is a little different from what we've heard most recently. And I've always tried to keep up with the latest understanding and so forth. And, you know, the way I taught that is based on the way I've always taught that, which is based on this footnote in the Receiving the Holy Spirit Today book that says, then in verses 12 to 27, the members are again as many of the nine manifestations, verse 7, as the man wills to manifest, set in correspondence with verse 11. In looking at that, let's go and look at 1 Corinthians 12. We'll have a little lesson in how to apply reproof and correction or whatever. 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." And I think what I said is that it was talking about the body of the nine manifestations as a body of the manifestations. Well, that's all well and good. Look at verse 15. It says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body?" And then all the way through, you know, we see this analogy of the body, and but it doesn't say members of the body of Christ. It doesn't say the body of Christ until you get down to verse 27. Verse 27 says, "Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular." So I always thought in my mind that was a different application because of something that we learned from Bullinger about structure and so forth and immediate context. But there's another principle, and that is scope. And also there we understand from, well, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for a moment here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, which is instruction in righteousness." So the Scripture is doctrine, reproof, and correction. What is 1 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians is a reproof chapter in a reproof epistle, right? So remember, Romans, Ephesians, and Thessalonians are doctrinal epistles. Corinthians and Philippians are reproof, and Galatians and Colossians are correction. So let's take a look at Romans 12. So Romans 12 would be the doctrine. Okay, Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or divine service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, transfigured, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, and this applies to women too, by the way, everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith, the measure of that which is to be believed. This deals with the renewed mind aspects of the one body, because we get to verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. So this, the doctrine deals with the one body. Now, it is speaking of it in light of the renewed mind walk. And yet there is information in here about manifestations and ministries. Verse 6 says, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of our the portion of believing. It's speaking of someone that has a long suit in prophecy, according to the grace that is given to us. We all have the same gift of Holy Spirit. Here it's talking about someone that is especially gifted in prophecy, someone that has a long suit in prophecy. Verse 7, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So, you know, it's talking about, okay, you're ministering, you're carrying out your spiritual ministering in the body of Christ, but what do you do with your mind when you're doing that? You know, so, but now you go to, let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Let's see. Verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. He couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual, but now he's writing this epistle, and he's going to speak to them about spiritual matters, right? Okay. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? So the problem wasn't just that perhaps they didn't understand the things regarding the manifestations, but also there was envying, strife, and divisions among them. Okay, among them where? In the one body. Okay, this is addressing issues of the one body. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? You know, I'm of Paul. I got it direct from, you know, the one that had the administration of grace delivered unto him. You know, well, wait a minute. I heard from the golden-tongued orator himself, Apollos. You know, well, you know, it's not who you hear from. It's what you do with it after you hear it, I suppose. But, you know, what we in our lives want to do is not what they did. Envying, strife, division, you know, all those kinds of things, being carnally minded. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Whoever gets into the body of Christ, whoever gets born again, somebody has to talk to him. Somebody has to teach him. Somebody has to help him. Well, when we help them, we want to help them into the body of Christ, not into the body of Earl or, you know, or Chris Hines or Kevin Browning or whatever. You know, we want them to be part of the body of Christ. Now, as ministers, we all have our different long suits, and we all have our different ways of ministering, and we all have our different place in the body of Christ. But because you're an eye member doesn't mean, you know, the foot member not so good, not so hot, you know. So anyway, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's the key. God gives the increase. We need to just get out there and plant and water. Do some more planting and some more watering. Because right now, it's a little hard to water with all that snow on the ground. But, you know, it'll melt and turn into water, I suppose. So at any rate, so the doctrine was the body of Christ. The doctrine was, you know, we're all members, even Paul and Apollos are members of the body. They have a different function in the body, you know, but they are still members of the one body of Christ. So let's go to chapter 12, again, of 1 Corinthians. And we'll look at verse 27. So, the scope, you know, there's a thing called scope in understanding the Bible. And a lot of things you learn by having a scope of the Bible. And you get scope. Scope means like a large understanding, and it helps you put things into place within that particular subject that you have a scope of. You know, it's like understanding the manifestations of Holy Spirit and knowing that in the Old Testament, those that had Spirit upon them, they could operate 7 of the 9 manifestations. They couldn't operate tongues or interpretation of tongues because it was not yet available. So then we can go to the Old Testament, see the records of people walking with God, and recognize that they're operating manifestations of Holy Spirit. That is part of a scope of understanding of the Bible. And really, understanding the manifestations opens up the Old Testament in very wonderful ways because, you know, well, why did that guy, you know, pour water on the fire, you know, before on the wood before he had the fire lit? You know, well, God told him to. You know, God told him to. And it was by word of knowledge, word of wisdom, you know, that God told him. And, you know, you see things throughout. Why did he have the guy go up and look for a cloud and then go back and go up and look for a cloud and then go back? Well, I don't know, but God told him to. That's why he did that. He had his servant go up and look, and then he saw this little cloud and said, oh my gosh, it's happening. You know, get down and tell them to head out of there because it's going to be a downpour, you know. And so that's rewording, of course. So anyway, looking here at 1 Corinthians 12:27, it does say, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. I thought it was sort of interesting that, you know, this is a reproof epistle. In the doctrinal epistle, it says we are members of the one. Remember that? Let's go back and look at that. Romans chapter 12. Let's see, where is that? Verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Okay, but then it says in 27, now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You know, so it's bringing it back to it's the body of Christ. It's not the first church of this and the whatever. You know, it's the body of Christ. It's one group, one body. And so it's that is something very significant. Go to 1 Corinthians 12. Again, we're there. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual matters, pneumatikos, or actually pneumatikon here, but the word gifts is in italics, added by the translators. The translators could have added matters because that is included in the understanding of that word, pneumatikon. But now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. And then remember in chapter 14, it says, if a man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. So this whole section is concerning spiritual matters. But he couldn't speak to them as unto spiritual to begin with when he was with them. Now he's trying to bring them along on spiritual matters. And one of the great spiritual matters is the one body of Christ. And it is still a huge matter today. You know, where people want to have their own little group and their own little this and their own little that. So, now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. They were taught that way. They were taught, you know, that the Saint Christopher protected them or whatever they were taught. You know, and so, you know, that this thing, this object is to be revered and you bow down, you know, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to bow down anytime they heard music, right? And that idol spoke to them, right?
No,
couldn't speak. It was dumb. It's a dumb idol. Ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as ye were led. They didn't know any better. That's what they were taught. Wherefore, I give you to understand. Now, I want you to understand this. You know, that stuff's out, basically. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can really say, or can say, I always put the really in there because there is a translation that has that, and I sort of like it. But no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that they can't be a Christian. There are lots of people that are Christians that have never spoken in tongues, sadly. You know, I was in that category for a long time, till I was, 20 or something. You know, 20 years, that's a long time, not knowing about speaking in tongues. But thank God I've known about it now for 25 years. No.
I was like, wait a minute.
55 years. Well, I've known it for 25 years, but total 55 years. Okay, well, anyway, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost, by Holy Spirit. Evidently, some people were saying, well, when you speak in tongues, you're cursing your God. Well, You know, today we heard tongues with interpretation. Those tongues were beautiful. It didn't sound like cursing to me. They were beautiful, and we heard the interpretation, and the interpretation was beautiful and wonderful too. But they have, there's contrasted with idols that could not speak and speaking in tongues. For there are diversities of gifts, there are distributions of gifts, but the same Spirit. Evidently, I mean, and some of these pagan religions, they have a different spirit for different things, and a different idol for that different spirit for that different thing. Well, we have the same Spirit, the same gift of Holy Spirit. And again, the gifts are speaking of the gift ministries as well as the gift of Holy Spirit itself, and also like gifts of healing. And there are diversities of administrations, you know, ways of serving, but the same Lord. There's one Lord, one God, one gift of Holy Spirit. And this was evidently a problem for them, and they didn't understand that, and this is a spiritual matter. And there are diversities of operations, of effects produced, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But in contrast to that, the diversities. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Every man, woman, and child that gets born again to God's Spirit gets the same gift of Holy Spirit. An apostle does not get more. The apostle just utilizes that gift of Holy Spirit in the manifestations differently by God's grace and mercy. And God works with that person in a different way, and he has a function in the body because of that. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And you know that Latin word really excited me last week. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of knowledge. To another, what did I say? Word of wisdom. Okay, given by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So you don't have someone in the body of believers that's, I'm a word of knowledge Spirit bearer, and I'm a word of wisdom Spirit bearer. So when you get your word of knowledge, let me know about it, because I'll have the wisdom to apply it. You know, word of knowledge is information, you know, from God or for God, or, you know, as God reveals it to you, it's up to him to do it. It's up to you to receive it. But then word of wisdom is how to apply the word of knowledge that you've received. So wisdom is knowledge applied. And when it comes to God's word, it's God's word is right knowledge. And God's wisdom is right wisdom. So it's the right application of the right knowledge. That's what the word of wisdom is. To another prophet, believing by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. There's only one gift of Holy Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he, the man, wills. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. Now, this is where I would, in the past, say that's talking about the different manifestations that are operated by different people. But in carrying this forward from an understanding of what that this is a reproof epistle, and the reproof is, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, all that kind of stuff, to carry this forward into the one body of Christ, which is the issue being addressed, is the way it needs to be done. It needs to be carried forward so that, for as the body, and that's talking about the physical body, is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And it's speaking of Christ in relationship to the one body. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And I really think that's sort of significant, that we're not just, you know, when you're baptized in water, you don't drink the water, the Jordan River. You wouldn't want to drink the water in the Jordan River. But baptized with Holy Spirit, wow, that's really terrific, because you also drank it. You know, that's pretty cool. To me, I don't know, maybe it's not that big a deal. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Okay. For if the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And carrying that through to the body of Christ. And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? I was thinking about this. The way God reveals himself to us is up to him. Sometimes we see a vision. Sometimes we hear something. You know, sometimes we smell something. Something doesn't smell right in here. Well, that guy's got a devil spirit, you know, or whatever. I mean, that God works with us. Remember, he's eyes behind our eyes, ears behind our ears, you know, all the way through. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? You know, and again, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos. You know, it was a difficulty with the body of Christ, within the body of Christ, envy, strife, division within the body of Christ that is being corrected by this epistle. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. So, you know, be comfortable. With your position in the body of Christ, with your function, be comfortable about that, you know, and do what you can in fulfilling that position, that function in the body. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, and still I always think about how the eye can't speak anyway, so how could the eye say anything to the hand? And the hand doesn't have any ears, so the hand can't hear. But anyway, the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon them we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, our unattractive parts. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. That is very clear. Ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? No, no. Everybody in the body of Christ is not an apostle. Are all prophets? No, no. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? It would be nice if they all did, but, you know, they don't all do that. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And the more excellent way than coveting is what? Love. To walk in love. And everything that is done should be in love. When we put out the refreshments, the refreshment person, that's important. That's a person, that's a function in the body here. You know, and it's a wonderful thing to have refreshments when they come in. To set the chairs up, you know, get the chairs right. To get the people on the that dial in or that scope in or whatever they do to get in. You know, that's all important. Those that are calling in our scope, that's important. Why? Because if we didn't have anybody to teach, we'd teach the walls. I've done that many times, but you know, it's better to have folks to teach to. Covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The more excellent way is to walk in love. If we walk in love, whatever the need is, when there's a need, then someone will lovingly, you know, step into the gap or however you want to describe it. And it's such a blessing to have God's word that we can go to. And then, you know, again, understanding this in light of doctrine, reproof, and correction, then this is all through there in that whole section dealing with the one body, so that we don't need envy, strife, and division. We don't need that kind of stuff going on. So, Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful for the greatness of your word. We're so thankful for all that you've provided for us, and we just thank you that we can be part of this wonderful body, the body of Christ, that we can contribute with our functioning in the body to bless the others that are in the body, to walk with love in our hearts, to treat our fellow members in the body with great love and respect and honor. And what a joy it is to have Christ within and to have the capacity to love like you've given us, and have the capacity, the ability to operate all nine manifestations. And what a joy it is to be able to speak your word to others and help them to understand the greatness of your word. We thank you and praise you again today in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.